John Cavan, and welcome to KABU.
Pleasure to be with you.
John Cavan is the director of the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. He's written quite a few books. His most recent articles include Trump trade wars have led to losing U.S. jobs and factories. We need a worker-centered recovery. He also wrote How to Raise $9 Trillion for Working-Class People Without Really Trying. The Institute for Policy Studies itself examines the country and the world, discussing the big challenges and the means of meeting them. The big challenges, of course, include the degradation of ecosystems and global warming, growing authoritarianism, imperialism, militarism, poverty and inequality. It's a long list. Racism and misogyny is also, of course, public health and increasing pandemics. As to the latter, this COVID could well be mild compared to a highly contagious and highly lethal virus that could well come. Of course, all of those crises and the troubles are interconnected, and the list goes on. But the Institute is not a doom and gloom operation. They do point out, like so many others who use their research and studies, that the planet is fast moving towards catastrophes. They also demonstrate that we know what must be done, and they discuss how to deploy all our ample resources to create democratic, sustainable societies. And they see this country as crucial to share leadership and resources with the rest of the world. So, John Cavan, we're recording this Friday. It'll be last Friday for our listeners. The day that Biden pulled ahead in Georgia and Pennsylvania and appears to have beaten Trump, though no one knows what our esteemed president and his Justice Department and his Second Amendment people might do in his last 2.5 months in office. All that said, John Cavan, let's say you were selected to be part of the Biden Brain Trust and were writing his inaugural address. What would you put in it?
That's an interesting way to put it, because he is listening to progressives just as he's listening to centrists and conservatives. Here's what I would say. First, the next 2 months before his inauguration are critical to what goes into that speech. So let me just say two things about progressives and what we should be focused on in November and December. The first is we still desperately need an emergency COVID relief package. And there is, I think, a better than 50-50 chance when we can get one passed in December. Republicans are feeling the pressure to do it. Their cities and states are broke, and people are really hurting. So one, progressives need to focus on that in November and December. Heavy pressure, not just on Biden and Harris to talk about it, but on progressives in Congress and in the Senate to pass it. I think there's a good shot we could get what we desperately need, which is another $1,200 check for everybody. Unemployment insurance, vitally important. It's been gone for millions of workers since August. And aid to cities and states, many of whom are laying off vital workers because they don't have the money. So keep pressure on that. If you get that passed, it'll change a little bit what you would say in your inauguration. And the second thing is something which the whole country is now focused on, which is that a Biden presidency can do much more, and progressives can do much more in pushing a Biden presidency if they get the Senate. And right now, as of the moment you're listening to this, Republicans have 50 senators in the next Senate, and Democrats have 48. And the final two seats will be decided on January 5th in two runoff elections in the state of Georgia. The state where the election was or is the closest, it will be decided by a couple thousand votes either way, and there will be a recount. So, huge amount of emphasis is going to go into Georgia. I would encourage people to support that. There are great groups there like Black Voters Matter, like the Poor People's Campaign is working hard in Georgia. They all need help, because if those two senators become Democrats, then the Senate's 50-50. It then Mitch McConnell, the soon-to-be most hated man in America, as Donald Trump recedes, will be out of power if it's 50-50. If the Democrats control the White House, which they do, they get to determine things in the Senate, and big things can happen in the Senate. So we will know that at the time of your questions about the inaugural address, but those two things are critical for every progressive in the next 2 months. Now, going to 2021 and what Biden should lay out and what progressives can win, keep in mind most of the damage that Trump did, he didn't have the House of Representatives. That was Democrat controlled. So 90% of the horrors that he visited on this country were through executive action. He pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Accords. He pulled the U.S. out of the World Health Organization. He deregulated corporate America and allowed them to pollute and to abuse workers and so on. Joe Biden, through executive actions, can do a great deal. And IPS has been working a lot with the Congressional Progressive Caucus and the Congressional Progressive Caucus Center. We have 8 memos in different areas that lay out what Joe Biden could be pressed to do through executive orders and other forms of executive action to undo the Trump horrors. So that's one category. It's very important, and it's something to be excited about, even if McConnell retains control of the Senate. I've mentioned some of the things that they would undo, but a huge one will be this. The pandemic continues to be one of the central crises in 2021, along with the economic crisis, along with the racial justice crisis, along with the climate crisis. But the pandemic is global. It can only be resolved globally. So through executive action, the administration could not only rejoin the World Health Organization, it could become a leader in a global effort to have completely free vaccines for all in every country. Right now, under the Trump model, corporate America would determine how much vaccines cost, who gets them. It's a horror show right now. So there's a great deal he can do through executive action. But the other thing, just to say for progressives, I'd keep your eye on a couple other things. One, what we've learned over the past couple of years is there's some things that we can win because all we'll need is 2 Republican senators to win them. There's things we can win legislatively. I'll give you an example. One, progressives have made a big priority of saving the post office. It is vital that we not just save the post office, but expand it. One way to really go after racial injustice in this country is to have postal banking. But for that, the post office needs money. At least 3 Republican senators have come out for giving more money to the post office. So we could win that. I'll give you another one. You will recall, many of the listeners, that Bernie Sanders led an effort over the past 2 years to successfully pass resolutions in this Republican-controlled Senate, and then Ilhan Omar and Mark Pocan did this in the House, that would cut off U.S. military sales to Saudi Arabia and stop U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen, which is killing hundreds of thousands of people. Bernie Sanders found 7 isolationist Republicans who'd vote for that, and then Trump vetoed it. So we can pass things like that. I'll give you another example, and this is where we get into progressive sort of expanding their sense of the possible. It turns out most Americans, including many who voted for Trump, are appalled that billionaires made up to $1 trillion off the pandemic. We at IPS call them pandemic profiteers, but this is Jeff Bezos and the CEOs of Zoom and the CEOs of Google and so on. They've made money off the pandemic. Most Americans think that that is outrageous and immoral. So I could imagine a pandemic billionaire tax actually passing, which taxes that ill-gotten wealth of billionaires during the pandemic and makes that money available for the things we need to transition our economy to a green economy, to help workers, and so on.
Right. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Variety Hour on KABU Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland. I'm talking to John Cavanna of the Institute for Policy Studies. The Institute analyzes, thinks, proposes. They know what must be done on a planet now living in a period of mounting, serious to say the least, crises. We're discussing this on the day Biden victory seems assured. We're discussing what a Biden administration could do despite the Senate, who will oppose near anything he proposes. John Cavanna, I think it is clear that they're going to have to pass a COVID relief bill. And also it will include, I hope, Trump's infrastructure bill that was never proposed or acted on, actually. He was just promising it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It could be an infrastructure and energy modernization act to create jobs, good jobs, sort of a Green New Deal, basically. Maybe not use that term because the right has so savaged it.
Right.
It solves the poverty and insecurity and job problem. It would go a long way in the U.S. to actually moving towards real action on global warming, depending on how large the appropriation is and who gets the money to create those jobs. It seems to me that we have a tremendous opportunity now to restructure energy production and the way it's organized, and to displace the investor-owned utilities with democratic, locally confederated energy agencies, as many California cities have already done. There are places around the world where local energy is now supplying a great percentage of their power. And we wouldn't need a huge trillion-dollar big grid, which, of course, will burn up or be blown down or flooded out frequently. John Cavanna, tell us about those possibilities.
Sure. Well, I ask you all listening to this to think back just 1 year. Pre-pandemic, pre-economic crisis, there were two giant issues in the U.S. and the world. One was a global climate movement led by youth, and one was a real upsurge in understanding and outrage over racial injustice in this country and around the world. But the movement that had millions of young people on the streets was the climate youth movement. And what you got out of that, which was fascinating, was a debate in almost every country in the world about the fact that if the climate crisis at that point was the number one crisis in the world, every country would have to go through a massive transformation of their economies into a clean energy economy. And if they did it right, they could create millions of good jobs. In this case, good union jobs in the United States, of course, is what we wanted. That debate returns in 2021. When we no longer have Trump, the world will return to that and the pandemic, and of course they're interrelated, but as the number one issue. So in the United States, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris understand it. And I'll say it was really interesting to watch climate movements in the U.S. go after Biden on this. They pushed hard. In the summer, there was a Biden-Sanders task force on climate that included AOC, it included the head of the Sunrise Movement, and they got Biden to move to the left on climate.
Yeah, I want to agree with you. In fact, I read his second climate action plan. It was quite radical. I was just shocked by it because it adopted a lot of the language of those who would want to build a democratic system.
Right. What I think Biden recognized, and which just happened in this election, he recognized he could only win if he inspired a number of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren supporters. And it was a brilliant move by Sanders to push this. He took those task forces very seriously. And that one was combative, and it was interesting, and Biden moved to the left. Now, the challenge of progressives in 2021 is to hold him to that and press him on that. And you are right that a key space where we can do that is in the next COVID relief bill, which will either be in December or, if that gets mucked up, it'll be the first act of business of the new Biden administration. And I do think that you're right. I want to just flash people back for 1 second, 12 years ago. Barack Obama is elected. It's in the midst of a terrible recession and economic crisis. Progressives said to him, you got to do a massive stimulus bill and it has to be green. And so he did, but it wasn't carefully laid out what that would look like. And most of the money, you know, the overwhelming majority went to repairing highways and things like that. I think everybody is much smarter 12 years later. There are a lot of very good proposals for transforming the economy. So I think there's a great chance to get money in for transforming our energy and manufacturing infrastructure in a way that's much greener. I think the harder part is where you ended, Bill, which is can you do this in a way that is democratically controlled? Because big corporations are sitting there ready to jump in. We do work in New Mexico. A big new multi-billion dollar deal has just been announced for clean energy in New Mexico, but by a giant company, a global corporation. So progressives have both got to push for that transformation, and we've got a shot of getting money to go in this direction under Biden. And then the fight of our lives will be, can we do this in a way that is democratically controlled? You're right, we've got some models from California and other states, and a lot of this fight will happen at a local and state level. And everybody should keep that in mind. We're going to have Biden and Harris as our president and vice president, but a lot of what we can win in the next 2 to 4 years is similar to what we won in the last 4 years, which is at a local and state level. So the fight for energy co-ops that are democratically controlled will happen, a lot of it in your own town and in your own state, and progressives have to remember that. We've got to fight on each of these levels. We've got to be internationalists and get back into global agreements that can help people around the world and help the planet. We've got to be fighting at this national level with a divided Senate and House. And then we've got to be fighting at the state and local level. And I think most people are capable of thinking at those three levels. We are simultaneously global citizens, national citizens, and local citizens.
John Cavanna, that's a good way to end. It was great talking to you. A few last words. My sense is that people are ready, and it's vitally necessary, for what could be a huge crusade that brought not just progressives together, not just most of the Democratic Party, but would reach out to working people across the country, many of whom may have voted for Trump but could be switched to a very progressive kind of reconstruction. What we need is a sort of a crusade to reconstruct our economy and our planet and to live much better and together democratically. Just my sense is, maybe I'm being over-optimistic, it's not bad, especially right before going to sleep, if you can.
Right.
I think that crusade somehow could occur, and people could learn a whole lot for it. And one thing about the Black Lives Matter marches and even this election that brought in so many, many more people into politics, maybe not terribly intelligently, but they got involved in some way. I think you can build on that sort of enthusiasm and those precedents to build a crusade.
Sure. Quick reminder, big change in this country happens when there's powerful social movements. There are powerful social movements in this country, many that cut across issue. And I would highlight the Poor People's Campaign hitting poverty, racism, militarism, environment, and the movement for Black Lives, both of them fusion movements that bring in unions, environmentalists, racial justice groups, and so on. Those groups have momentum. And to win the things we've just talked about, we are going to need that kind of massive, coordinated movement action. I think it can happen. I also point you all to the Congressional Progressive Caucus. There's going to be a summit on November 13th and 12th and 13th that anyone can join for free. Just go to the Congressional Progressive Caucus Center website and you can join that. You'll meet great new people who've been elected, like Jamal Bowman and Richie Torres. You'll see Ilhan Omar and Deb Haaland and others. It is movements pushing good progressive leaders at the local, state, and national level that will bring the kind of change that we've just discussed over these minutes.
John Cavanna, thanks so much for talking to us today.
My pleasure.
You can find John Cavanna's, a lot of his articles and the titles of his book by going to the IPS, Institute for Policy Studies website. Good talking to you, John. Thanks.
Great talking to you. Good luck in this next stage.
Right. So long.